Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios with you on this Tuesday evening with you for the full four. We're asking you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in, though. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take the smartphone. Take your Alexa speakers. Take your tablet. Take your DVD player, your tape deck, your turntable, whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to keep up with the show is through our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else. On the other side of the glass, producing the show, as always, Day Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. Well, a whole bunch to get into with you here this evening. Let's start with Braves as they get ready to take on the California Angels. I'm sorry. But again, Gene Autry was the owner, the singing cowboy. I call them the California Angels. I remember Frank Tanana and Don Baylor and Doug DeSensei and Bobby Gritch and Rod Carew playing first. That I remember the California Angels. I don't know what they are now. They're the Anaheim of Walt Disney, El Segundo. What are they? The Rancho Cucamonga Angels? Is that what that is? They're the El Segundo Angels. I call them the California Angels. That's what they will always be. It's like I call them the Indians. They're the California Angels.
Now I'm with you on that. I remember when they actually used to share the stadium with the Rams. I actually went to a few Angels games when they used to play the Oakland A's back then, because I don't know if you remember Dwayne Murphy, who played for the A's.
Yeah, he was a Gold Glove center fielder. Yeah. He was actually a terrific. He was in that outfield that had Dwayne Murphy and Ricky Henderson in left
field.
And Tony Armas in right.
Yeah, so he was the brother-in-law of one of my father's best friends.
Oh,
so
okay.
Whenever they would come down to play the Angels, you know, in Southern California, we would go to some of the games. So I remember, to your point, I've always called them the California Angels.
Yeah. Dwayne Murphy was a heck of a defensive player. Him and Ricky Henderson were a really good defensive outfield in that left and center. Tony Armas, not so much, but But again, he had a lot of power. Look, it's a lot of times the Indians, Day-Day, would start on the West Coast because, again, it would be miserable in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So they would start a lot of times in Oakland or California. They would start against those American League teams out on the West Coast just because they always trained in Arizona.
Right.
And so rather than come back to, you know, late March, early April in Ohio, where it's about 4 degrees and snowing, they would stay on the West Coast and start their year in California. So a lot of times they did play the Angels starting out the baseball season. So they're the California Angels. And they got the better of the Braves last night, 4-1. Offense was anemic for the Braves. They just could not get anything going. And now Spencer Strider gets the ball tonight. And look, he needs a good start. So his last three outings, by the way, he has not won a game since July 8th. His last three outings, he's had 18 and a third innings pitched with 11 earned runs. And this has been the bugaboo coming this year, he's given up 5 homers in his last three starts, including 2 in his last two starts. 5 homers in his last three starts. He's given up 18 homers in 123 innings this year. He gave up 7 in 131 last year. So, again, whereas Charlie Morton was all the giving up all the home runs last year, Strider's been giving up home run balls this year. He's had a whole handful of games where he's given up multiple home runs in a game. Can't let that, you know, continue. And again, especially with a guy like Ohtani, you know, now again, they're missing, you know, what's his name? Mike Trout. Anthony Rendon is also not in, right? I mean, I think he's out as well. But you got to control that offense. And last night was a tale of all home runs. The Braves' only run came off a homer. Three of the 4 Angel runs came off of home runs. Can't allow the Angels to do that. And Strider's got to keep the ball in the park. He's striking out the world. His last 4 starts, 44 strikeouts in his last 4 starts. 44 strikeouts in 24 and two-thirds innings over his last 4 starts. So he's, you know, the strikeouts are there, but he's given up too many runs, too many home runs, and starting to give up too many hits as well. So, again, we'll see what Strider's got tonight. He needs a good start. Braves need to try to get a win in this series, as, you know, the Angels were kind of fading a little bit here, but, you know, a win last night, and they still think that they're probably in the hunt for a playoff spot. So right now, as things stand, the Braves are 11 games up on the Philadelphia Phillies. The Braves are 11.5 up against the Fishnets, and the Mutts are 17.5 games back. So, oh, by the way, did you see the Mutts traded Justin Verlander today? So he officially goes back to Houston. Last time the Astros picked up Verlander at the trade deadline, what'd they do, Day-Day?
Won the World Series?
Yeah, they won the World Series. Yep. So here's the great thing. We'll talk about this more in What's Bugging Chuckery. The Mets are going to pay $54 million of Verlander's contract to the Astros, who basically they gave up good prospects, but still $54 million to the Astros. let's all sing together. Let's sing together. Yeah, let's do it. You know what?
F the Mets. F the Mets. Step right up and F the Mets. Bring your kitties, bring the wife. They're gonna suck for the rest of your life.
I love that. What a joke. What a disaster of an organization that Muckmeyer, Mutts, scuzzbag, dirtbag, fleabag organization. What a bunch of bozos. They deserve everything they get. Everything. Everything they get. No wonder it's called Flushing Meadows. Because all they do is crap in the toilet, and all it does is backlog on them and just percolate up. What a disaster of an organization. It couldn't happen to a better franchise than the Mutts. Maybe the Red Sox, but other than that, couldn't happen to a better franchise than the Mutts. What a crap show for them. All that money and literally nothing, nothing, not even a third place finish in their division. And they're lucky that the Nationals are so god-awful, or they'd be the last place team in their division after they spent the most guaranteed money in an offseason in baseball history. Steve Cohen's not going to have any hair. Oh, wait, he doesn't have any hair. Okay. Anyway, can we listen? Let's do it one more time. Let's just, you know, again, you know, we got to sing it here.
F the Mets. F the Mets. Step right up and F the Mets. Bring your kitties, bring your wife. They're gonna suck for the rest of your life.
Okay, we got that out of our system. So, did I ever tell you that I hate the Mets? I hate the Mets.
Yes.
I hate the Mets. I hate the Red Sox and I hate the Mets. Anyway. All right. We'll talk to Steve Wyche coming up at 7:40, our friend of the show. He's been up in Cleveland and Cincinnati over the last few days here, so we'll talk about that with him also, too. We'll get some Falcons talk in. I wonder if he's going to be on the broadcast for the preseason games this year. You know, he's been on the preseason games the last couple of years on, what is it, the CW, or what do they call that now?
Yeah, it's still CW? Called
CW. CW, okay, yeah. I think the preseason games have been on the CW, and they've had some ham and egger doing the play-by-play, and then I think it's Coy Wire and Steve Wyche have been on the broadcast over the last couple few years. So wonder if he's going to do that again this year. So we'll talk to him coming up at 7:40. Our friend of the show, we hadn't caught up with her in a long time. Jillian Sackovitz will join us. So she's now blown up, and now she's all over Apple TV as far as MLS coverage goes. So we'll talk to her about some, you know, Lionel Messi and MLS, and obviously plenty of Atlanta United. So that's coming up at 8:20. Braves did make a move today. So, again, is this super sexy or things like that? No. Brad Hand, 3-1 with the Rockies, 4.54 ERA, 35 and two-thirds innings pitched, 35 hits. He's also given up only 4 home runs. Here's the big thing, though. Here's the two things about this move, okay? Lefties are hitting 143 against him with a 392 OPS. So lefties have done nothing against him. And he's got 41 strikeouts in 35 and two-thirds innings. That's 10.3 strikeouts per 9. So he gets plenty of outs without contact, and lefties can't hit him worth a crap. It's all I need. It's all I need. That's it. He doesn't give up the long ball, strikes a ton of guys out, lefties don't hit him. Thank you. Thank you. No problem there. Again, another guy, and especially from the left-handed side, right? Minter's had his struggles this year. This is a guy who's been getting lefties out routinely this year. And look, he's been an all-star. He led the league in saves in 2020 for the Indians. He's had 30-plus saves a couple of different times for both the Indians and, I think, for the Indians and Padres, where he combined, where he came over in a trade, I believe, from the Padres to the Indians. So when they were trying to make that run to the World Series, he came over. But he's been an effective pitcher. But again, outs without contact, lefties aren't hitting them. It's all I need. Now, interesting, they didn't get a starter. They didn't go out and get themselves a starter. So we'll see what happens. All right, here's what we got going on. 404-726-0929, okay? 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. You know how I always ask you a question. Which unit, and I'll ask Dave this, and we'll get your thoughts and your calls, which unit will be better in 2023? The defensive line or the secondary for the Atlanta Falcons? Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates, presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sports books, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now, see, there you go. See, again, now we're mixing it up. Now we get some beat to it. Instead of the whoa, 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 whoa.
I had to go home and pull out my external hard drive because, you know, in my former life, I have a lot of music.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to have to bring it all in here. And
can we get some Jamiroquai?
I do have some Jamiroquai.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Let me. I don't have that on
no, but I got you covered. I'm good.
I got you.
It's a work in progress. In progress. So again, get some Jamiroquai for some bumper
I got
music
you.
Too. So anyway, Chuck, we back. Oh God. I was just thinking about some of these bad bumper musics that we had. So anyway, Chuck in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio. And that's on the game. 404-726-0929. That is our phone line, and it's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line asking you the question, which unit do you think will be better this year? The defensive line for the Falcons or the secondary for the Atlanta Falcons? You know, I think that the secondary is going to be the unit for a couple of reasons. One is I think it was the most improved unit on this group this year. A lot of talent. If Okuda, Terrell, Jesse Bates, these guys can live up to their billing and then you continue progress with the Richie Grants, Clark Phillips, Jalen Hawkins. If we can get those young guys to grow and develop as well, now we got something special. And I'll always go back to, I think, what the X factor is, and that is the Jerry Gray effect. Jerry Gray coaching this, you know, being a part of the coaching of these defensive backs. If you read the things that Jair Alexander said, and he's talked about Jerry Gray specifically, and we've even played some clips where we've heard guys talk about Jerry Gray. I think that was their low-key best move of this entire offseason. Not drafting Bijan, not signing this guy or that guy or whatever. It's bringing Jerry Gray in, who's a stud of a defensive coach. So I think that the secondary is going to be the unit that really shines for the Falcons. And I went back through Day-Day, and I was looking at where the Falcons ranked in Pro Football Focus's top secondaries. And they were 23rd. And I think that there's a chance where they could be a top 10-12 secondary in the NFL. No reason why they can't with the talent that they've got available to them. Now, what do you think? Defensive line or secondary?
You know, I love what they've done with the defensive line, and I've shared that many times, but I do think the secondary is going to be I think they will be better in the sense of they're going to be able to allow things to happen up front. Mm-hmm. I think the talent that's back there with Bates and Okuda and, of course, AJ and all those guys, I just think they're going to be able – to me, this seems like the most balanced secondary they've had in a very long time.
Yeah, and there's – again, there's a lot of star power back there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of star power back there. Again, guys have to play up to their potential. And I'm not saying that, you know, again, it's just automatically they're going to be – but if they play up to their potential, then this will be a really good group. So 404-726-0929, your thoughts. What unit will be better, the secondary or the defensive line? Let's go out to Vincent out in Riverdale. What's going on, Vincent?
Hey, how you doing, Tucker?
Good, buddy.
Man, that's a tough question. From a fan standpoint, since we haven't seen it in so long, I want to go with the defensive mm-hmm. line. Mm-hmm. I know we want to see a lot of stats. We haven't seen it in so long, man. We just don't know what it feels like. But from a business standpoint, from a GM standpoint, I'm going to go with the secondary. It's where I spend the most of my money at this offseason. It's where I had the most activity going on. They was pretty good last year. They're getting better and better every year, so I expect them to take another step, especially with the addition of Jesse Bates and Jeff Okuda. I just really want to finally have a secondary where we get a lot of turnovers, interceptions, and things of that nature. We don't have to be the top defense. Even when we went to the Super Bowl, we wasn't. But we made a lot of good plays, and let's just make it exciting. Thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate it. And, look, I don't disagree. There is – it's not just the guys that we've just named off here. Again, Mike Hughes, you know, Clark Phillips. I mean, there are guys that can have impacts in the secondary all the way around. And as D-Led likes to say, you can't have too many guys that, you know, are in your secondary. Well – or you can't have too many cornerbacks. Well, you know, I'll say the same thing about defensive guys. I mean, you can't have too many guys that sack the quarterback. That's been one of our staples of this show. But I think the upside for potential is greater in the secondary than what it even is as far as the defensive line goes. And look, if an Arnold Ebiketie can't make that step up, I know where the next guy comes from as far as that fire breather coming off the edge and getting after the quarterback. Like, I don't know who that guy is. You can tell me D'Angelo Malone, but I will tell you that, you know, I've heard some things that, you know, again, lighter player, maybe, you know, not able to, you know, do some of the things, put his hand in the dirt and get after quarterbacks and things like that, but and Carter, you know, I don't think that he's a fire breather coming, you know, off Caden Ellis. Again, a lot of ifs and buts and maybes and this, that, and the other. So, you know, it's a situation where I think the secondary, you know, if A.J. Terrell, let's say he doesn't become an all-pro kind of guy. Well, again, if he's still pretty good and Jeff Okuda is pretty good and Bates is pretty good, you know, now we got something. You know, I think that there are more guys that don't have to have first-team all-pro seasons for the secondary to be really good. I think unless a guy like Ebukadi amps up the sack game, I don't know how good we will be. I don't know where that guy comes from that can get me 10 sacks. You know, if you think Grady is 6 to 8 sacks, okay. If you think Onyemata is 5 to 6 sacks, that's really good. You know, I'll take all that. But if I can't find that fire breather coming off the edge, then I'm a little bit scared. And I will say that, you know, I think pass rush is still the thing that concerns me the most. I think that it's the place that when I look and say, okay, are we a given in the pass rush? I don't think it's that way. I don't think it's that way for this squad. I don't think that this team is you know, got a given up front just yet, whereas I think that there's more opportunity in the back end of this defense with Terrell, with Jeff Okuda, with Jesse Bates. I think there's some more knowns in that group. Let's grab Henry out in Alpharetta. What's going on, Henry?
Hello, Mr. Chuckery. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I think the secondary for our defense is going to be the best this year over the O-line and D-line because A.J. Terrell is the defensive back. I think he's going to do really good this year. Our defensive linemen, they are good, but we have room to improve. So overall, I just think the secondary is going to do good this year because of A.J. Terrell.
Well, thank you for the call, Henry. And I agree with you. I definitely think that A.J. Terrell is going to have a bounce back year. I think that he did regress some last year. He did regress. And for whatever reason, I mean, injuries did play a part in it, but he definitely did regress last year. He wasn't the same player that we saw from a couple of years ago where he was really one of the best shutdown corners in the league. He was the second highest graded corner in the league behind Jalen Ramsey. He was a shutdown guy. Teams could not complete passes against A.J. Terrell a couple of years ago. Teams had a much better time of it this past season. And I don't know exactly why the reason for that is, if teams figured something out against him, but I think he'll have a better year. Now, if he doesn't, again, you know, he's staring down the gun barrel of a massive contract. He's looking at trying to become a $20 million a year player on the defense. If he doesn't play as well, then we have to start questioning some things about, okay, where are we? But I think A.J. Terrell is going to be fine. I like A.J. Terrell a lot. I think he's a really good player. I think last year was kind of an aberration where it was a little bit of a step back. But I think he gets it back on track this year. And I think he gets back to being that second-team all-pro that we saw out of him a couple of years ago. And again, if Okuda can just, if he can stay healthy and contribute, here's what I want from Jeff Okuda. I want him to make it hard for the Falcons not to really want to re-sign him. Like, I really want the Falcons to want to re-sign Jeff Okuda, no matter what the deal becomes. You know, obviously, if he has a really good year, he's going to go in the open marketplace and find himself a wealthy home. I hope that's in Atlanta, and I hope he does step up. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't want him just for the sake of wanting him. I want him to play well, and I want him to step up. So, again, when we talk about this secondary, I do think that there are some more knowns, and I do think that there is room for guys to, again, I think that we have more potential all-pro players in our secondary than what we do in the front part of our defense. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk to Steve Wyche, get his thoughts, NFL Network analyst, Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio on 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Mike on the track.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Well, fall camp's here and rolling right along. NFL training camp. Falcons obviously getting some things done. And NFL Network has got you covered from coast to coast. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's Ford dealer. Let's talk to one of the men in the know, chief national reporter for NFL Network, our buddy Steve Weish, joining us here. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Weish89. Steve, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight.
No, I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to it.
You know,
is it a Twitter page anymore, or is it an X page? Because that doesn't sound right.
Oh,
does.
Yeah. No, yeah, we're not getting into that X thing. I'm still burning it up. Yeah. So, hey, Steve, I've never really asked you this, but you were part of a really good group of beat writers for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, Chris Mortensen, yourself, Len Pasquarelli, Vaughn, D-Led. Like, you know, for all the, you know, lack of success that the Falcons franchise had for so long, that was a really good group over the years. I mean, you were part of a pretty good club of guys that covered this Atlanta Falcons team.
Yeah, don't forget Matt Winklejohn,
yeah.
Who did a hell of a job as well. Look, it was an opportunity, and even though, teams may not have success, it's our job to report the news. It's our job to tell great stories, and as somebody who covered a 19-win NBA team in Washington, and a lot of teams that didn't win, sometimes that's where the best stories are told, right? Because the readers, or the viewers, or whatever, they may not care about the end result anymore because it's not positive, but they may start caring about the people and things behind it, or why things aren't working. So you get to really tell stories a little bit differently than if this team was like in first place, whatever, and everyone's kind of riding that wave of momentum trying to win a championship.
Steve, you've been spending some time up in my neck of the woods. I was born and raised in Canton, Ohio, and I know you've been in Cincinnati and Cleveland. Let me ask you first about the Bengals before we get into some Falcons talk. But, boy, they dodged the ultimate bullet with Joe Burrow, and that could have gone a lot worse, and it certainly looked a lot worse when it first happened. How much are they crossing their fingers up there that, hey, we dodged something out there because their season would have been over? I mean, say what you will, but their season would have been over if Joe Burrow's not the trigger man.
Over. I mean, just because look at the rest of the AFC, especially even their division. And plus, other than Patrick Mahomes, he's that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got that Mamba mentality, so to speak, where 2 minutes left in the game, he's coming for the throat. And so, yeah, I mean, I won't say they feel like they dodged a bullet. They feel when I was there, the attitude was like, okay, yeah, he's going to be back in a couple weeks. The interesting thing is, will Joe Burrow step on the field before he gets that contract extension? Mm. You know, that's going to be interesting. I don't know if he'll necessarily play hardball and say, hey, I'm not going to play unless I get it. But at the same time, the Bengals, Duke Tobin and the people in the front office might be like, okay, let's go ahead and get this done. There's no reason not to. So that's, but again, in terms of how they feel about things, it was he's going to be back maybe by the season opener, and we're going to be just fine. Because I tell you what, that roster is loaded. It is loaded, but it might be loaded for just one more year because once they pay Joe Burrow, that wide receiver trio is probably going to break up, and they're probably going to start losing some more key players.
Yeah, I was thinking, Steve, that when if you were at training camp around the Bengals facility at all, look and see if there's a dumpster full of cash because that's what it's going to take to pay Joe Burrow. I mean, it's going to be mega sized.
Well, him and then Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah,
I mean that's the thing. They've got two scoops of money they got to dish out. So that's an interesting thing about drafting. Well, you want to keep your guys when they play two premium positions. It's going to hurt you in some other spots.
Let me ask you about the Browns. They felt like a couple of years ago that whether ownership or coaches or general managers, they looked at themselves and thought they had a Super Bowl-ready roster with Chubb and Garrett and a lot of guys on their offensive line, and they were a quarterback away. Bring Deshaun Watson in. I mean, obviously things were kind of sideways last year and things like that, but how much pressure is there on Watson now that, look, there's still a lot of talent on that team they've got to figure some things out, and they've got to start winning. I mean, or their coach is not going to be around. Look, I have my issues with Stefanski about some of his decision-making, but again, they need to start winning because that roster is too good to be just kind of in the muck and mire of the AFC.
I agree. I was there today, and man, that roster is really, really good. And then you add Jim Schwartz coming in as defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
That defense is going to be a lot better. I mean, his defenses tend to really be high takeaway teams, which is what they need. I mean, you add Za'Darius Smith along opposite of Myles Garrett on the edges. I mean, they're just stacked. But no, Deshaun Watson is under pressure, right? This team mortgaged its soul to get him in a lot of different ways. And, you know, last year you have to say he came in under circumstances that he brought on himself. A whole lot of things were going on, and people I talked to today said he's not dealing with any of that, right? He is dealing with just playing football. So he's got to come in and win because his division is loaded with quarterbacks. The AFC is loaded with quarterbacks. And I'm telling you, man, they've got some players. That rookie wide receiver, Cedric Tillman out of Tennessee, looks like a stud. Getting Elijah Moore in the slot from the Jets looks like a stud to go with Amari Cooper. Of course, Nick Chubb. They've just got players all across the board, and he is the ultimate X factor to me in the NFL. If he plays well, Cleveland could be one of these teams that could end up making a lot of trouble for a lot of teams, not just in the AFC, but in the NFL.
Chief National Reporter for NFL Network, Steve Weiss, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, let's talk about some Atlanta Falcons. By the way, are you going to do the preseason again this year for the Falcons?
I'm not. They told me thanks, but they're kind of going a different direction. No, but I mean, I just really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah.
So I got nothing but love for that organization for giving me a chance.
Let's talk about this team. You know, one of the things that's been preached a lot about Arthur Smith is just positionless football. And we've heard that term a lot with the Bijan Robinsons and Tyler Algiers and Jonnu Smiths and Kyle Pitts and everything like that. How difficult is this offense going to be to defend? Because, again, they can do so many different things with their personnel, and especially as they get down deep, they've got a lot of ways that they can line up and look at teams. How difficult of a matchup are they going to be for teams to try to stop?
Well, I mean, ideologically, it's going to be a pain. Because here's the thing. You know what they're going to do, right? They're going to run the football. But, you know, they're just not going to line up and smash it on you. They've got, like you talked about, the varied types of skilled players with Bijan Robinson, with Tyler Algier, with Cordarrelle Patterson. They've got massive wide receivers. And I tell you this, I talked about it when they did it. I'm glad that people are starting to recognize Mack Hollins. Right? He is a huge target, incredibly physical. He can make the big play. If you watch what he did with the Raiders, he's good near the end zone when you saw what he did with the Dolphins, and he's an excellent special teams player, and he's a monster blocking against the run. So they've got so many different packages that they can align with. You can go three by wide and put, you know, Pitts, London, and Mack Hollins on one side, and then you come back with Jonnu Smith as a weak side guy or somebody else, you know, Bijan Robinson. There are so many different looks they can give teams to stretch the defense and then just basically run a simple power run play up the middle with Algier, where they spread everybody out that he's going to gain 15 to 20 yards. And they can give you that look 20 different times and run 20 different plays out of it.
You know, Steve, one of the things you were dead on about was the fact that Tyler Algier would be an impactful player. And I remember watching you and you know, hearing you talk about Tyler Algier and how much he was going to impact this football team. You know, I feel like with Algier, with Bijan, it really doesn't matter who's RB1. Like, I don't really think about, you know, that, okay, this guy's got to be this lead back, or how are they going to split care? Like, they're going to have plenty of opportunity to run the football with both of those guys and catch the football with both of those guys. Like, I don't really look at the importance of RB1 on a team like this because they're going to do so many different things with both of those running backs.
100%. I mean, you know, you think about a team like the Browns, who I was up here covering. Like, Nick Chubb is RB1, right? He is
right.
Just that dude. But with the Falcons, and again, I'm going to harken back to some things you used to see with the Saints and the Packers and some teams. If they get a first-half lead, right, a lot of times they'll go with all those different fleet packages and things like that that we just kind of talked about. The second half, you're just hitting screen plays, you're powering the ball, you're you're crushing the clock and just beating the hell out of teams almost into submission by the fourth quarter, a lot like what the Titans would do. They would get maybe even a 17-13 lead, and then they're just loading up on you in the second half and beating you to where they're going to get another second half touchdown and a field goal to win games, you know, 27-14, just because your defense at some point's got to cry mercy. And I just, again, you know ideologically what the Falcons want to do, but they just, it doesn't matter. Again, one game it might be Tyler Allgeier. One game it might be Cordarrelle Patterson. You just don't know because they've got that many types of bodies, which is why the offensive line, you know, and the quarterback, it really, the success of this team all comes down to those two position groups.
Chief National Reporter for NFL Network, Steve Weiss, joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Flip over to the defensive side. You know, last time you and I talked, I said that I thought the low-key best move that this team made in the offseason was bringing Jerry Gray in. And we're already hearing guys talking about how, whether it's Richie Grant, Jalen Hawkins, Jesse Bates, guys are already talking about the influence that Jerry Gray has had on them. Look, this could be a really not just talented, but I think that this could be a special group in the secondary with Okuda, Terrell, Bates. Like, this has a chance to be something really special. Harkening back to maybe some of those old Falcon secondaries, you know, where Deion and Scott Case and some of those guys, this could be a really special group for this team.
Wow, look at you bringing up the Deions and the Ray Buchanans of the day. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I remember that. Listen, Tim McCyer, Deion Sanders, Scott Case, and Brian Jordan. That was my guys, man. That was my guys.
Right, but I mean, look, there's a lot of wisdom in that. Like Jesse Bates, I mean, here's just someone who just covers a lot of territory. You know, A.J. Terrell, he can cover off one side of the field. Okuda, we still need to see it, right? But as we talked about last time as well, you can have the five best DBs in the NFL. If you're not getting pressure on the quarterback, they can't cover these studs, you know, for very long. So, you know, that's still the most impactful part of it. You know, and so we'll see what Ryan Nielsen can do because, I mean, one thing Falcons fans should know is that Saints defensive front, they found ways to generate pressure. And so if you're one of these outside linebackers slash defensive ends in this defense, you should love this because you look at some of the edge players that came through Ryan Nielsen and he coached some of those guys up because inside they're going to be fine with Onyemata, Calais Campbell, and Grady Jarrett. You know, they're going to stir things up. So, you know, again, whether they're going to manufacture pressure, some guys can find out ways to win individually, that's really going to be the key to how things work.
Well, and, you know, Steve, I mean, again, and I bring this up all the time. I mean, it's, you know, can Ebikadi be that fire breather? You were just up in Cincinnati. Well, you know, Hendricks, I mean, you know, he's a fire breather coming off the edge. Miles Garrett's the ultimate fire breather coming off the edge. I mean, those are the guys that you have to have. And I wonder if an
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer, switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Well, fall camp's here and rolling right along. NFL training camp. Falcons obviously getting some things done, and NFL Network has got you covered from coast to coast. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Lance Ford dealer. Let's talk to one of the men in the know, chief national reporter for NFL Network, our buddy Steve Weish, joining us here. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Weish89. Steve, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight.
No, I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to it.
You know,
is it a Twitter page anymore, or is it an X page? Because that doesn't sound right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, we're not getting into that X thing. I'm still birding it up. Yeah, so. hey, Steve, I've never really asked you this, but you were part of a really good group of beat writers for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, Chris Mortensen, yourself, Len Pasquarelli, Vaughn, D-Led. Like, you know, for all the, you know, lack of success that the Falcons franchise had for so long, that was a really good group over the years. I mean, you were part of a pretty good club of guys that covered this Atlanta Falcons team.
Yeah, don't forget Matt Winklejohn,
yeah.
Who did a hell of a job as well. Look, it was an opportunity, and even though, teams may not have success, it's our job to report the news. It's our job to tell great stories, and as somebody who covered a 19-win NBA team in Washington, and a lot of teams that didn't win, sometimes that's where the best stories are told, right? Because the readers or the viewers or whatever, they may not care about the end result anymore because it's not positive, but they may start caring about the people and things behind it or why things aren't working. So you get to really tell stories a little bit differently than if this team was like in first place, whatever, and everyone's kind of riding that wave of momentum trying to win a championship.
Steve, you've been spending some time up in my neck of the woods. I was born and raised in Canton, Ohio, and I know you've been in Cincinnati and Cleveland. Let me ask you first about the Bengals before we get into some Falcons talk. But, boy, they dodged the ultimate bullet with Joe Burrow, and that could have gone a lot worse, and it certainly looked a lot worse when it first happened. How much are they crossing their fingers up there that, hey, we dodged something out there because their season would have been over? I mean, say what you will, but their season would have been over if Joe Burrow's not the trigger man.
Over. I mean, just because look at the rest of the AFC, especially even their division. And plus, he's just, I mean, other than Patrick Mahomes, he's that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got that Mamba mentality, so to speak, where 2 minutes left in the game, he's coming for the throat. And so, yeah, I mean, they feel – I won't say they feel like they dodged a bullet. They feel – when I was there, the attitude was like, okay, yeah, he's going to be back in a couple weeks. The interesting thing is, will Joe Burrow step on the field before he gets that contract extension? Mm. You know, that's going to be – I don't know if he'll necessarily play hardball and say, hey, I'm not going to play unless I get it. But at the same time,
the Bengals, you know, Duke Tobin and the people in the front office might be like, okay, let's go ahead and get this done. There's no reason not to. So that's, you know, but again, in terms of how they feel about things, it was he's going to be back maybe by the season opener and we're going to be just fine. Because I tell you what, that roster is loaded. It is loaded, but it might be loaded for just one more year because once they pay Joe Burrow, that wide receiver trio is probably going to break up and they're probably going to start losing some more key players.
Yeah, I was thinking, Steve, that when if you were at training camp around the Bengals facility at all, look and see if there's a dumpster full of cash because that's what it's going to take to pay Joe Burrow. I mean, it's going to be mega sized.
Well, him and then Jamar Chase.
Yeah,
I mean that's the thing. They've got two scoops of money they got to dish out. So that, you know, that's an interesting about drafting. Well, you want to keep your guys when they play two premium positions. It's going to hurt you in some other spots.
Let me ask you about the Browns. You know, they felt like a couple of years ago that whether ownership or coaches or general managers, you know, they looked at themselves and thought they had a Super Bowl-ready roster with Chubb and Garrett and a lot of guys on their offensive line, and they were a quarterback away. Bring Deshaun Watson in. I mean, obviously things were kind of sideways last year and things like that, but how much pressure is there on Watson now that, look, there's still a lot of talent on that team. They've got to figure some things out, and they've got to start winning. I mean, or their coach is not going to be – look, I have my issues with Stefanski about some of his decision-making, but, again, they need to start winning because that roster is too good to be just kind of in the muck and mire of the AFC.
I agree. I was there today, and, man, that roster is really, really good. And then you add Jim Schwartz coming in as defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
That defense is going to be a lot better. I mean, his defenses tend to really be high takeaway teams, which is what they need. I mean, you add Za'Darius Smith along opposite of Myles Garrett on the edges. I mean, they're just stacked. But no, Deshaun Watson is under pressure, right? This team mortgaged its soul to get him in a lot of different ways. And, you know, last year you have to say he came in under circumstances that he brought on himself. A whole lot of things were going on, and people I talked to today said he's not dealing with any of that, right? He is dealing with just playing football. So he's got to come in and win because his division is loaded with quarterbacks. The AFC is loaded with quarterbacks. And I'm telling you, man, they've got some players. That rookie wide receiver, Cedric Tillman out of Tennessee, looks like a stud. Getting Elijah Moore in the slot from the Jets looks like a stud to go with Amari Cooper. Of course, Nick Chubb. They've just got players all across the board, and he is the ultimate X factor to me in the NFL. If he plays well, Cleveland could be one of these teams that could end up making a lot of trouble for a lot of teams, not just in the AFC, but in the NFL.
Chief National Reporter for NFL Network, Steve Weiss, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, let's talk about some Atlanta Falcons. By the way, are you going to do the preseason again this year for the Falcons?
I'm not. They, you know, they told me thanks, but they're kind of going in different directions. No, but I mean, I just really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah.
So I got nothing but love that organization for giving me a chance.
Let's talk about this team. You know, one of the things that's been preached a lot about Arthur Smith is just positionless football. And we've heard that term a lot with the Bijan Robinsons and Tyler Algiers and Jonnu Smiths and Kyle Pitts and everything like that. How difficult is this offense going to be to defend? Because, again, they can do so many different things with their personnel, and especially as they get down deep, they've got a lot of ways that they can line up and look at teams. How difficult of a matchup are they going to be for teams to try to stop?
Well, I mean, ideologically, it's going to be a pain. Because here's the thing. You know what they're going to do, right? They're going to run the football. But, you know, they're just not going to line up and smash it on you. They've got, like you talked about, the varied types of skilled players with Bijan Robinson, with Tyler Algier, with Cordero Patterson. They've got massive wide receivers. And I'll tell you this, I talked about it when they did it. I'm glad that people are starting to recognize Mac Hollins. Right, he is a huge target, incredibly physical. He can make the big play. If you watch what he did with the Raiders, he's good near the end zone when you saw what he did with the Dolphins, and he's an excellent special teams player, and he's a monster blocking against the run. So they've got so many different packages that they can align with. You can go three by wide and put, you know, Pitts, London, and Mac Hollins on one side, and then you come back
with Jonnu Smith as a weak side guy or somebody else, you know, Bijan Robinson. There are so many different looks they can give teams to stretch the defense and then just basically run a simple power run play up the middle with Algier where they spread everybody out that he's going to gain 15 to 20 yards. And they can give you that look 20 different times and run 20 different plays out of it.
You know, Steve, one of the things you were dead on about was the fact that Tyler Algier would be an impactful player. And I remember watching you and you know, hearing you talk about Tyler Algier and how much he was going to impact this football team. You know, I feel like with Algier, with Bijan, it really doesn't matter who's RB1. Like, I don't really think about, you know, that, okay, this guy's got to be this lead back or how are they going to split care. Like, they're going to have plenty of opportunity to run the football with both of those guys and catch the football with both of those guys. Like, I don't really look at the importance of RB1 on a team like this because they're going to do so many different things with both of those running backs.
100%. I mean, you know, you think about a team like the Browns, who I was up here covering. Like Nick Chubb is RB1, right? He is right. Just that dude. But with the Falcons, and again, I'm going to harken back to some things you used to see with the Saints and the Packers and some teams. If they get a first-half lead, right, a lot of times they'll go with all those different fleet packages and things like that we just kind of talked about. The second half, you're just hitting screen plays. You're powering the ball. You're crushing the clock and just beating the hell out of teams almost into submission by the fourth quarter, a lot like what the Titans would do. They would get maybe even a 17-13 lead, and then they're just loading up on you in the second half and beating you to where they're going to get another second-half touchdown and a field goal to win games, you know, 27-14, just because your defense at some point's got to cry mercy. And I just, again, you know ideologically what the Falcons want to do, but they just – it doesn't matter. Again, one game it might be Tyler Algier. One game it might be Cordarrelle Patterson. You just don't know because they've got that many types of bodies, which is why the offensive line, you know, and the quarterback, it really the success of this team all comes down to those two position groups.
Chief National Reporter for NFL Network, Steve Weiss, joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Flip over to the defensive side. You know, last time you and I talked, I said that I thought the low-key best move that this team made in the offseason was bringing Jerry Gray in. And we're already hearing guys talking about how, whether it's Richie Grant, Jalen Hawkins, Jesse Bates, guys are already talking about the influence that Jerry Gray has had on them. Look, this could be a really not just talented, but I think that this could be a special group in the secondary with Okuda, Terrell, Bates. Like, this has a chance to be something really special. Harkening back to maybe some of those old Falcon secondaries, you know, where Deion and Scott Case and some of those guys, this could be a really special group for this team.
Wow, look at you bringing up the Deions and the Ray Buchanans of the day. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I remember that. Listen, Tim McCyer, Deion Sanders, Scott Case, and Brian Jordan. That was my guys, man. That was my guys.
Right. But I mean, it's, look, there's a lot of wisdom in that. Like Jesse Bates, I mean, here's just someone who just covers a lot of territory. You know, A.J. Terrell, he can cover off one side of the field. Okuda, we still need to see it, right? But as we talked about last time as well, you can have the five best DBs in the NFL. If you're not getting pressure on the quarterback,
Yeah. They
can't cover these studs, you know, for very long. So, you know, that's still the most impactful part of it. You know, and so we'll see what Ryan Nielsen can do because, I mean, one thing Falcons fans should know is that Saints defensive front, they found ways to generate pressure. And so if you're one of these outside linebackers / defensive ends in this defense, you should love this because you look at some of the edge players that came through Ryan Nielsen and he coached some of those guys up because inside they're going to be fine with Onyemata, Calais Campbell, and Grady Jarrett. You know, they're going to stir things up. So, you know, again, whether they're going to manufacture pressure, some guys can find out ways to win individually, that's really going to be the key to how things work.
Well, and, you know, Steve, I mean, again, and I bring this up all the time. I mean, it's, you know, can Ebiketie be that fire breather? You were just up in Cincinnati. Well, you know, Hendricks, I mean, you know, he's a fire breather coming off the edge. Miles Garrett's the ultimate fire breather coming off the edge. I mean, those are the guys that you have to have. And I wonder if an Arnold Ebiketie can be that kind of player, can he be a fire breather that comes off the edge for this team?
We'll find out. I mean, you know, look, all those guys have somebody on the other side as well. I mean, Trey Hendrickson's got Sam Hubbard. You know, Myles Garrett, now he's got Za'Darius Smith. So, you know, a lot of times you've got somebody who can steer traffic, you know, into a collision. And so they've got to find other ways to, you know, not give escape routes to the quarterbacks. But, yeah, I think Abe Cady, I mean, I'm a big fan of his. He's a heavy-handed guy. He showed flashes last year. I think there's some expectation of him this year. And, you know, we'll see. Again, playing under Ryan Nielsen, he should thrive a little bit just based on some of the success he's had coaching edge players. And he's got the talent. Now if he can just pull everything together with what they're doing overall on the defensive front, you know, he could be that guy.
Steve Wise, he's the chief national reporter for NFL Network. You can find him on his personal, what is it, Twitter page, MySpace page. I don't know what it is nowadays. At Weish89. And he joined me here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Steve, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes on the show tonight. And we obviously will talk again soon.
Loved it. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. When we get back from the top of the hour, it will be time from the Falcons flyover. We'll hear from Matt Bergeron, Kadarius Hodge, what they had to say, and a couple other stories that I want to get into as well. Arthur Blank did speak today, too. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.